Okay, here we go. Is my partner there?
I am here.
All right, always there, just like the Rock of Gibraltar. All right. We've got a lot. We're going to do the human side of this tonight. It's so important. You never hear it anywhere else. We're going to do a lot of first-person reports on different aspects of this mass murder that's going on. But I wanted to spend just a little bit of time, and I did touch on it briefly last hour, this relatively new site called the Exposé. Now, I can't prove anything, but it does look to me to be demonstrating the earmarks of a controlled opposition site. Why? Because of its feigned, I hope, ignorance about some things that we have been presenting here for well over a year. They're acting dumb. And the other day they put a story up and it was excellent. Actually, it was about shedding. And it quoted some sources and said shedding is quite real. Needs to be taken seriously. And I said, wow. And then I got to the next paragraph and it said, yes, you've got to be very careful because graphene oxide is being shed on everyone. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. It's a lie. Nothing could be further from the truth. So it goes back to that whole thing. You really have to be discriminating. You've got to exercise discernment when you read anything from these. And this is a relatively new, I believe, relatively new site. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe they're just dumb. They got some bright spots and some dumb spots. I don't know. But there's no reason for anybody who is talking or reporting about this field of endeavor not to know the truth. All right. Here's we see these, I don't know, 2-3 times a week. You see them, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. This one is called Died Suddenly. It's about the Beef Stew Diner Productions, the documentary. And it's got some good, I gave it a B for information. It's got some important material. Unfortunately, it's what they didn't report that is critical. And there was some obvious trickery involved. They used some clips that were old. One of them, I will swear, I saw just damn near two years ago from China, et cetera. And other people have criticized it. And unfortunately, it was produced by the same people who did Watch the Water. And if you want to start out with a negative against you, that's one way to do it. All right. Those guys, forget it. So, okay. The headline, the expose, died suddenly. Blood clots. What causes them? Now, all of you listening, if you've been listening to us for any length of time, or if you want to go to the archive on the right side of the homepage and listen to a couple of the programs, you'll understand exactly what's causing them. We've been very clear about this for a long time. And here's what it says. This is how it starts. A Midwestern doctor with the initials AMD, like a medical doctor, AMD, has always been drawn to understanding pharmaceutical injuries. And once the COVID injection rollout started, AMD's focus shifted toward them. And there's a quote here. Although many of the pathologies I saw resembled what I had seen with other toxic drugs and to some degree responded to the same therapies, there is also a lot I had not seen before, which demonstrated these vaccines, they're not vaccines, you know that, were in a different league of toxicity from what I was used to. You bet your bottom dollar. I have thus spent the last 2 years trying to understand exactly how these bioweapons kill and injure people. Well, if he'd been listening here, he'd understand. And there are other sources as well. And it goes on. This is the story now. This is the staff writer at the expose. A significant portion of AMD's focus has revolved around trying to understand what is causing the unusual blood clots, both the coffee ground looking microclots and the large fibrous clots. The documentary Died Suddenly was recently released and went viral. Like some other researchers, AMD, some Midwestern doctor again, is a bit torn on this movie because it covers a lot of important ground and is presented in a highly persuasive manner that will red pill many who are sitting on the fence. But, AMD wrote, it is also presenting a variety of errors and tangential conspiratorial content which makes it prone to being debunked and discrediting this message to those who were on the fence about the whole issue. For AMD, the blood clot section represented by far the most persuasive part of Died Suddenly, and for that reason, AMD created a 15-minute abridged version of the documentary, only containing the sections focusing on the blood clots, and that is actually in this article. You can click on it and watch it. Sounds like a good idea to me. And then he writes, note, unfortunately, the live clot at the end has nothing to do with the COVID injections, noted AMD, and it came from a surgery posted on a YouTube a year before the vaccines entered the market. I suspect, said AMD, this arose because someone re-uploaded that clip and labeled it as being from the vaccines, either as a prank or as clickbait, and then it was reshared until the Died Suddenly team got it and added it in since it supported their narrative. This illustrates why it is so important to have strict editorial controls on any production, especially one that is difficult to revise after the fact and will be viewed by a large number of people. Okay. Well, here, look, he talks about something strange here. I suspect he's talking about, okay, at the end of these fibrous clots are often red blood clots. Why? Because the blood is stopped. It can't traverse. It can't move forward. So it forms a clot. And this person is suggesting that the red blood clot is causing the growth of the fibrous clots. And it's not. It has nothing to do with that. Was that covered in the quote I just read, or did I miss it?
I think they left it open to speculation.
Sounds like it. Looking here. Okay, and the next little section of this story, it's a longer story. One, the elemental composition of these fibrous structures indicates they are not primarily forming from blood. Correct. And two, that smaller normal blood clots, as shown within Died Suddenly, the documentary, could be found at the terminal regions, the ends, of the fibrous clots, suggesting they may have originated there and that a normal process had initiated at these clots, but then had gone awry. So they're suggesting here in this article that, gee, those fibrous clots may well come from regular blood clots where something has gone awry. No, not true. No. Last paragraph. Because these fibrous clots are so unusual, they have understandably provoked a great deal of confusion and uncertainty, which has led many to grasp for rather unusual explanations over what is occurring. But AMD believes there is a simple but comprehensive explanation. And he goes on to give his view, talks about enzymes and this and that. Look, nowhere do I see the word or words spike protein. Nowhere do I see amyloidosis. All right. So my point is, this is interesting reading, but there are parts missing and parts that should not be in there at all.
It's really rather amazing that they want to keep people in the dark. We know what these are.
Precisely.
I mean, this is exactly what you would expect from these sequences that are in the spike protein, the code for the spike protein, these peptide sequences that are known to be amyloidogenic.
Seven of them.
At least.
Yeah.
And, nobody should be surprised by this.
This is not new,
and at this point, I think it's likely, being a lab origin, that they were put there intentionally.
Of course. This whole thing was built intentionally. So, finally, we get down another couple paragraphs, and you see, however, once small amounts of spike protein are added into the mix, at concentrations AMD believes will be reached through vaccination, those irregular fibrous clots spiral out of control and continue to dominate the clotting process. Okay, fair enough. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 paragraphs before they get to the meat of the story. Now, how many people read all the way down? A lot of them don't. And the idea that the red blood clots are somehow responsible for these fibroid clots, it's nuts. And we all know what's going on out there. And these people have certainly been exposed to the truth. Anyhow, just be careful what you read and how you read it. All right. And when they try to tell you shedding is real, bravo. But when they tell you graphene oxide is the absolutely terminally dangerous component of that whole process of shedding, close the door. It's over.
Yeah.
So you just have to be careful. Anyway. All right. So, but kudos to the expose for the good work they do. And let's hope that they're just ignorant in some things. Like they bought into the graphene oxide thing. I don't believe it, but you never know. So, but anyhow, you are called upon to use more discernment and discrimination in your thought than ever before now. Believe it. And the war to push graphene oxide as the number one villain is huge. Big war.
Yeah, it really is. It's unrelenting at this point. And I think, it's a nice distraction because people don't want to, or they don't want people to know that they're being cooked with their own iron.
They are.
Yes, they are.
They certainly are. It's the iron, stupid.
It is the iron, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I can almost guarantee you we're not going to see that in a headline, if ever, for a long time.
No.
It's not going to happen. So we'll do what we do, and we've got it up there on the website, so read and share. Okay, we've got Erica's put together a bunch of human stories, most of which we apologize in advance, but it's real, are tragic, and that's what's happening. And I do believe that we've lost maybe 10, 20 million people in this country already. That's my take. I'm not speaking for Erica. But anyhow.
Well, and crippled how many more?
Yeah.
I will say the 911 calls that I've been listening to the past 2 weeks, they appear to me to be on the rise. The pace is quickening. And it's people having, the other day, Saturday, there was a woman, 50-something-year-old woman at the bank, suddenly having a heart attack. There seems to be a lot of people having trouble breathing, and they apparently
and
have to have kids at home. Swallowing. That's another one.
Esophageal, tracheal problems.
Swallowing. That swallow reflex is impaired in some of these people.
That seems to be a
well-documented side effect of this vax.
This Kill shot.
There was a child today, I guess in grade school, maybe middle school, junior high, having a seizure. It's nonstop. It's just nonstop.
Let me find that. The one you saw. Oh, this is terrible. Erica found this one the other day. I just got word that my grandniece may have breast cancer. She is 11 years old. I figure she took the shot. Their family has never listened to us about anything. I appreciate any prayers for her. So they shoot up the little kids and they start getting breast cancer and other cancers and God knows what else. We've laid out this whole horror show. There are dozens of ways that this bioweapon can end life sooner or later. It's just diabolical, demonic beyond that. It's crazy. 11-year-old kids getting breast cancer. Aren't some 10-year-olds and under starting their periods already too and having heavy bleeding problems? And
there have been reports of infants there was an infant girl that spent some time with her vax grandparents, and her mother then noticed later on she was bleeding in that area. And yes, there have been younger girls just suddenly bleeding, not necessarily going through puberty, but there was that one, that Patty Barst, who's got her YouTube channel there, very generous in sharing some of her perspectives on this and experience. She reported that there were two girls under the age of 10 who were vaxxed per request of their parents, and both of them, within a week or two, had begun growing pubic hair. I mean, that's puberty at less than 10. So there's some serious endocrine disrupting aspects to this thing. I mean, if you look at what's going on with the women, just this nonstop bleeding that many of them are experiencing, and by nonstop, it's weeks if not months at a time. It seems to be some, I would guess, tremendous increase in estrogen, but no progesterone to balance it out. And in fact, it almost looks like the progesterone is being blocked altogether, which might explain why, the miscarriage rates are so high.
Sounds like sterilization was built into this thing, clearly.
Last year we had talked, I had stumbled across the possibility that maybe they were spiking this thing with mifepristone, which
That's
is
right.
a chemical
it
that
is.
They use to induce abortion because it would have, it blocks progesterone, and then that would essentially starve the fetus of what it needs to survive. I don't know. Nobody knows what's in these things.
Where did you think the mifepristone was located? Did you come up with that? And I guess?
Well, it is used in genetic engineering. And how easy would it be just to, code for a little bit of this in addition to the spike and whatever else they decide to have people producing internally?
Sure.
There does seem to be some progesterone characteristics to what's going on.
Yeah.
In a progesterone antagonist as opposed to, well, it may start out as an agonist, meaning it has a progesterone-like effect, but at a certain level, it begins to antagonize the body's own progesterone. It blocks the receptor, so your own progesterone cannot communicate with the cells, and essentially you're depleted. You just don't have any to work with.
Remember this.
The one
this,
that's there is a chemical and doesn't work the same way.
This bioweapon.
I don't know, but people are getting grievously injured, as you said aptly.
The bioweapon injection has been engineered, designed to cause your body to produce all sorts of things, whatever they want it to produce. And many of these things are anti-life, or certainly anti-reproductory in their effects. We know that. It's just an horrific thing. It's unprecedented in world history. We've never seen anything like this. That's not to say they don't have something even more diabolical sitting on the shelf. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I'd expect it.
Maybe faster acting. But this covers a lot of bases in a very, very stealth way.
Oh, boy, does it. All right, where do we want to start with our little human stories tonight?
No, you pick.
Let's see, the guaranteed winning number of the lottery. No, that's not the one.
That's not on the list.
Well, you've got to put it on there. We're never going to make any money if you don't. All right. Masks. Let's go play with masks here.
Okay. Good? Yeah.
All right, you're first.
Someone says, I realize masks don't help against viruses, but do they help with protection from spike proteins that are emitted from other people's breath or skin?
Good opening. That's a good question. That's an intelligent question. Do they help with protection from spike proteins that are being emitted, shedding from other people's breath, aerosolized particulates, or skin? All body fluids carry spike, at least. Good.
Mm-hmm. First answer, someone says, some people I know said it helps with shedding if you wear a good quality mask. And then another person puts a link to a video. I'm not sure what the video is about. The truth about N95 and cloth masks. Not sure if that was in support of it or not.
All right. It's a Rumble video. The person's name is, if you want to look up Rumble, Stephen with a PH, Petty. The truth about cloth masks and N95s. So it's, you can go find it. It's on Rumble. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Continuing. Masks are bad for health. And the other person says, I'm fully aware of this, but super sensitive people I know have told me that without it, they get sicker. FYI, I do not wear a mask. I'm just passing the information I heard from real people. And the third one says, unless they're wearing something that forms a seal, at which point it becomes a respirator, not a mask, it's just a glorified splash guard. The masks are part of the COVID rituals. They are essentially religious talismans for new globalist religion. And the other one says, I agree. But if the vax are releasing VOCs, volatile organic compounds, some have done experiments with a VOC meter, then it makes sense if people find some relief wearing an N95 around vax people, especially freshly vax people.
Especially.
And so, you know, they do not recommend it for a long period of time for the obvious reasons.
No, we're talking about 15, 20 minutes in a store.
Yeah.
You go outside, you take it off, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Don't buy masks that are made in China. Many of them have been found to have those little black fibers in them that actually do respond to heat and humidity, and they begin moving. I don't know what they are.
Oh, there's all kinds of crap in there. The microplastics and, you know, the ethylene oxide.
Yes. All right, someone else says, would love to see the experiments with the VOC meters if you have them. I distill my own water and use a carbon-activated sachet to catch the VOCs as the water condenses. Wouldn't something similar be needed in a mask? And then according to that presentation I linked by the industrial hygienist, you're only getting 3% filtration efficiency without sealing the mask to the face. Masks still seem like primarily a voodoo cope unless they are, one, sealed to the face, and two, have an activated carbon filtration element. Well, maybe or maybe not. Some people say 3%. Even if it's 10, hell, even if it's 3, I'll take it. I'll put that on for 20 minutes in the store if I get 3%. I have to bend every advantage to all of our benefits in these days. That's what I would recommend. And if you have a good mask and you put it on properly, it will seal, and you may get 20, 25, 30%. We know all the arguments. We've covered all the arguments in the past. They're all there. On the whole, the masks can trap spike proteins, which are stuck to something else. There, we understand about the size of the holes. We've been through all that. Okay. One more. I do not own a VOC meter. I thought of doing the experiment myself, but I don't want to get shed by going to places where the vaxxed are, so I haven't done it. But I have seen some people in Japan who did the experiment, going to gyms, saunas, malls, etc. Can you imagine being in a sauna with vaxxed people?
No.
Good Lord. And it seems likely they are releasing PM2-0.5 and formaldehyde too. So what's PM2.5?
Is that a measurement of the particle size?
That would seemingly have to be. PM2.5. I'll read it again. And it seems like they are releasing PM2.5 and formaldehyde too. So I would say particle sizes maybe, yeah. I totally hear you about the mask's efficiency. I have done tons of research as well. But there are masks that seal completely if you wear it correctly out there. T-O-T-O-B-O-B-O, Toto Bobo, is one of them. Again, I do not recommend wearing it if you don't have to, but for people like me with multiple chemical sensitivities, it could be a lifesaver sometimes.
Yeah, so I think for VOCs, that's interesting. Someone actually did measure formaldehyde coming off these people. Again, this would be the breakdown, the lipid peroxidation that these people are generating because of the horrendous oxidative stress going on in their bodies. But people that are sensitive to aldehydes, yeah, formaldehyde would be a big offender, and you would have a lot of these symptoms that are characteristic of shedding syndrome. Certainly headaches and nausea, brain fog.
Oh, all kinds of symptoms. Yeah. Go ahead. There's one more.
Okay. I can confirm this. A high-quality FFP3 mask reduces the shedding symptoms to some extent. As far as I've noticed, the biggest shedding problem is the air exhaled by the vaxxed.
Well, that's as far as this person has noticed. And interesting observation, could be correct. The point is, as Dr. Alim said, it's aerosolization through exhalation and physical touch, body fluids. All body fluids are carriers of spike and perhaps mRNA. And the same can be said for the exhalations. So these are interesting to read because they do back up what our instinctive recommendation was long ago, to wear the mask when you're in mixed vax company. It's important.
Yep.
Take the 5 or 10%, whatever it is. Wear it properly and you might get 20, 25, I don't know. But shedding is not a joke. Shedding is for real. People have ended up with clots in the brain in hospitals, not injected, just from being around, working around, hanging around vax people. And it's we're getting into the holidays, and we just went through Thanksgiving, and a lot of people had mixed families over. And what was that one? I don't want to mention any names, but a friend of ours, a friend of this program, who just had a few months ago a near deadly encounter with what we think was COVID, or one of the variants, had recovered, doing well, and on Thanksgiving went over to the spouse's family for an all-day Thanksgiving get-together, and they were all triple vaxxed, except for the people I know. And the person I know was 2 days later deathly ill again. So hypersensitization, possibly, but you cannot go into an enclosed room with vaxxed people and expect to escape every time unscathed. You can't. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I would add, too, that just because you don't have noticeable symptoms is not, a safe bet that you are not being affected still. I mean, we've had numerous examples.
Well, you're below your threshold. Yeah.
Yeah, for symptoms. This is a blood destroyer, and we've seen plenty of live blood analyses now where they've taken the blood of the unvaxxed and put it under a dark field microscope, and their blood looks almost as bad as a vaxxed person's. In some cases, it's almost indistinguishable.
And how can that happen? Exposure, shedding.
Yeah, shedding. That protein, it's... You know, it's in the nanoscale. I think it's, 7 nanometers? And it may even be smaller than that if it's been enzymatically digested, so to speak, and it's leaving these people's bodies in exosomes. Mm-hmm. But it's biologically active. And so however it gets into you, it begins doing damage, starting with the blood.
Don't shake hands with people. Get your mind... Rehearse this with your mind. If someone sticks out a hand, don't reflexively stick yours out unless you can get to a sink right away and really scrub your hands. No joke. Just say, I'm sorry I don't shake hands anymore. Please don't take it personally. And just bow politely. And I've never had a problem. People say, that's fine. But you've got to get ready for it. You can't get caught off guard. And these people, we talked last program about clingy people, who have been shot up, they'll get close to you, and they'll stick that hand. I've seen it in public settings. They'll stick that hand right out, and the other person, it's a reflex. The hand comes right out. Big handshake.
Yep.
So now we got holidays. We got hugs. We got kisses. We got exhalations. We got all kinds of things. These are going to be difficult. They're going to be difficult. Okay. Go ahead. Shedding. We did number one. No, number one. We got shedding.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm unvaxxed, and I'm very healthy, and I feel great. I've been around quite a few vaxxies, and I'm just fine. Maybe you've got some kind of unidentified illness or something.
And the answer to that is, even if you ignore the thousands of anecdotal evidence stories, most of which are verified by doctors and other corroborations, there is quite a bit of scientific evidence about shedding, and even secondhand shedding. Pfizer's own documents discuss secondhand shedding, stating that men who had been around vaxxed people should not have relations with their wives, as a miscarriage could result. Thus, miscarriages are through the roof, not only for the vaxxed, but for the unvaxxed as well. Additionally, a University of Colorado study demonstrated that children who were unvaxxed but had vaxxed parents had the same effects of the vaccine, and that it was spreading through skin and breath. So the bioweapon is transmitted from the parents to the unvaxxed, uninjected children. Not good. This is, you see, we're trying to wade through this all together, and hopefully this is sticking some of it with some of you. It's too easy to make steps around people who are trouble. It's too easy to make plans and to think about these things. You don't have to tell anybody, I don't want to be around you because you're vaxxed. You don't have to say that. Just 6 feet, no handshake. And understand, if you're downwind from them, their exhalations are going right into your lungs. So try and move upwind if there's a breeze. All right? This is not rocket science.
Yeah.
Onward.
All right. I've inverted the next two. I'm going to go to shedding number four.
Go. And then do two.
I am new here, and I have a question. I live where 99% of the people are jabbed. I've been staying 6 feet away from everyone except for three instances. Each time I was exposed for 20 minutes at 3 feet, and I have had the same response. 12 hours of flu-like symptoms, body aches, slight fever, severe stomach pain.
Damn.
Has anyone else had this happen? I do react to many chemicals that don't affect others, so maybe this is another situation where my body overreacts. Thank you for your help.
Now, see, just a little interjection. That's anecdotal, and you all can dismiss it and say, well, it's not science. Well, what is it? It's a real human being reporting a real reaction to being 3 feet or so close, inhaling the exhalations, the aerosolizations of the vaxxed. And there was a reaction every time. Go ahead.
Answer to that. Many people in this group are noticing these symptoms and more. I get shortness of breath, migraines, and if someone touches me, I get terrible cramping and hemorrhage, and I'm almost 64. I went through lots of testing, and the doctor says there's nothing wrong.
See, this is an adult. He's not playing games. People don't play games with this stuff. They read these accounts. They understand what the potentials are. And notice how it does affect and impact people differently. That's part of the diabolical nature of this. It's demonic. It does all kinds of things to people. So he gets shortness of breath, migraines, and if somebody touches him, as in a handshake or whatever, I get terrible cramping and hemorrhage. Hemorrhage. And I'm almost 64. This is a lady. This is big alarm bells should be going off.
Yeah, it's not good.
No. Okay, you found a smell one. All right. This is interesting. Now, Erica really broke open the VOC thing several weeks ago.
The aldehydes.
We think that's part of it. And the aldehydes, yes. Okay. Just a question about the smell of the vaxxed. I smell it, and it is horrible. When I smell it, it makes me want to go throw up. And when I know I smell it, I need to escape because I know then I get horrible symptoms. My wall neighbors, what the hell does that mean? My wall neighbors? Whatever.
People on the other side of her wall? I don't know.
I guess so. I think that I'm guessing she's suggesting that it's coming through the sheetrock walls from apartment to apartment or condo to condo. My wall neighbors smell so horrible that when he is at his balcony, the smell comes into my living room.
God.
So, this is obviously a apartment building or a condo complex. Just one question. Has anyone experienced something like that? Last time, when I smelled someone so bad, he died a week later. Has anyone else noticed that increased smell of vaccine indicates death, pending death, approaching death? I have realized what stronger is after that when they have passed. Sorry, I am not native English speaker. I'm trying my best here. But I try to say that what is stronger is the smell, or the stronger the smell is, the nearer to death they are, if that's the correct way to say it in English. Go ahead.
Has someone else noticed this same in their loved ones, close ones, who has been jabbed and smells? I just cannot handle the smell. It stays everywhere they touch. And if my neighbors has been in the building, the whole building smells for hours afterwards. I can smell it even outside. I just smell the jab now everywhere, and I really don't want to go anywhere. I think I am lucky that I can smell it, but I would want to know why some of us smell it and some of us do not. My husband doesn't smell it. He is unvaxxed too, but I do smell it.
Well, these are molecules being released, either by exhalation or just being emitted
through
the skin. Off-gassing,
yeah.
Exosomes. It doesn't matter. And why everyone doesn't smell it, no, we have no idea. Maybe there's some kind of a hypersensitization of the olfactory nerves that is picked up through exposure to spike. I don't know. We don't know.
Well, I'm going to guess that, as we were saying before, with this, the whole process of detoxifying aldehydes, that pathway can become overloaded, and I think that that is when these really unpleasant symptoms begin to plague people. You know, these are the same people that can hardly walk down the laundry detergent aisle in the grocery store because the smell is just, it makes them sick, makes them nauseous.
Got it.
Makes them dizzy. Those are aldehydes. Those fragrances are aldehydes. And these are the same types of chemicals that are coming off these people because of the lipid peroxidation that they're undergoing.
All right. Well, if you are among those who smell people who have been vaxxed, consider yourself in a way lucky because you get a warning. Something's going on around here and I better pay attention. I better move. I better get away. That's good. I don't see that as a negative. It's a very unpleasant positive, but it can help. Okay. Myo, hospital visit, intimate contact. That's always a crowd pleaser. Intimate contact. Okay. Yes, the vaxxed can damage the unvaxxed. The girl I was seeing got her Moderna and didn't tell me until after the deed was done. I went through months of hell. Now, this is the guy talking, remember? Painful suffering throughout my body. I developed rashes, blisters, swollen testicles, lymph node swelling, hemorrhoids, heart palpitations. It took months to recover and lots of prayers. I used NAC, quercetin, black cumin seed oil, CoQ10, and other supplements, plus eating healthier and working out. Go ahead.
My body feels recovered now after 6 months. Still have a weird issue with one of my legs where a lymph node swelled up in that area. All female friends and potential mates I pushed away and blocked them after they got their vaxes. Co-workers, lots of pretty women I no longer talk to because they got the vax. Yeah, it can cause a lot of issues. I do not recommend sleeping with vaxed. May cause death. I've heard some people dying. They were unvaxed but kept hooking up with vaxed women. I heard women develop ovarian issues after sleeping with vaxed men, and who knows what else. I was talking to a girl online. I mentioned to her the stillborns, and she still told me her sister had a stillborn after getting vaxed. It's horrible.
All right, words to the wise. You and the sad part of it is people are lying about their vax status now in order to be socially mobile and accessible. They don't want to be kicked out of their good times, so they lie. And
yeah.
That's a tough one. You almost have to be directly up front with someone, I would think, and just simply ask them, what is your, you don't have to say, did you take the shot? You can say, what is your position on these so-called vaccinations? And see what they say. And then you can pursue it from there. Just a gentle door opening. But you've got to find out whether you're male or female, doesn't matter. If you sleep with your vax opposite, you're, pardon the pun, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. I mean, the guy was wiped out for 6 months. It took him to get back to normal. So
I know. He gave an update fairly recently. This is sort of interesting. I'm on a dating app in Los Angeles. The amount of women that took the jabs and aggressively protect the jabs and believe it's in COVID, it's crazy. I went from trying to find someone to just red pilling. I went from trying to find someone to just red pilling the women on their LOL. A few did kind of change their tone, and I told them how to detox and about this channel. We'll see how it goes. But by now, I'm sure most of them got a year plus into being jabbed. One girl told me she made it past the 18-month mark, so she thought she was safe. No, the poison is still in them.
Poison doesn't go away. No. No. Okay. Again, words to the wise. These are real people. These are real events. Oh, maybe once in a while we get a fake in there, but virtually never. These people are sincere, you can tell. All right, here's one about death. I've had about three neighbors in my complex die after the jabs, from cancers, death, to worsening of their immune disorders. I know of a girl I knew. She died at 29, just a few months after her baby. Co-worker family members dying or nearly dying as well. Four more neighbors around my block, too, died suddenly, that I heard of from neighbors. On dating apps, I've seen women 20s to 30s recovering from cancers, or so-called recovering, or suffering from illnesses after being jabbed. And they were pro-vax and masks. 2023 is going to get worse, I think. And I concur, we concur with that. People at work and neighbors got boosters recently, too, thinking it's COVID that's killing people, not linking it's the shots. So they put more poisons into their bodies. The world has gone nuts. So there's another example. This guy, three neighbors in his complex die, four more neighbors around his block die. This is why I say tens of thousands of people are dying a day. Prove me wrong.
No, I think you're right.
I wasn't talking to you. I mean, just rhetorically, and you can't. You can't.
No.
There's so many people who have stories like this. And if anyone is working or around other people, they're going to hear stories. They're going to hear, oh, man, Sally died last week. What? She did? Yeah, they found her dead in bed. Really? You get these things all the time. This thing is so diabolically sophisticated in the way it goes after living entities and destroys them. And we don't want to forget that if you have dogs and cats, do not let the vaxxed touch them. Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your best friend, your dog or your cat, is depending on you to protect them. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got the 11-year-old breast cancer. Oh, you put it up here. Thank you. I already did that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Got it off. Okay, let's try for these three endometrial cancers. Go ahead.
All right. So this is in a support group for women who have been diagnosed with endometrial cancer. And there's not much talk of the vaccine, but the age of the women is rather alarming. There are a lot of women in their 30s dealing with this type of cancer, when normally endometrial cancer is a cancer that typically doesn't come on until maybe 60, 65. But the plethora of women in here are young. So this person wrote, has anyone taken the COVID vaccine? And if so, did you have side effects? I'm asking because I've been very sick for a while after taking it. And 25 people replied, and they had all received the vaccines. Now, bear in mind, this is a group for endometrial cancer. And, okay, I'll give you an example of a typical reply. It took me just over a week to feel better after each shot. Anything more than that, I'd be talking to my doctor to be on the safe side. We have also already been seeing influenza A here in Northeast Florida. So she was not seeing any connection between her current situation or predicament, you know, with having taken the shot.
Couldn't figure it out.
All of them were like that. And then there was a bit of a hostile one. Where is it? Why are we discussing COVID in this group? Sick for quite a while after the vaccine? This person needs to see her doctor and stop scaring others. I've had both vaccines and I didn't even have a sore arm.
Wow. Well.
So yes, this group is full of people, full of women who have received the shot, and many of them are complaining of these just incessant bleedings and painful periods. They have been diagnosed with either hyperplasia, which is an overgrowth of the endometrium, or various stages of endometrial cancer.
Here's, we got a couple minutes here. I'll squeeze it out. I've had two shots of Pfizer and am scheduling a third. I had a little soreness at the injection site both times, but no other side effects. I had the AstraZeneca vaccine with no side effects whatsoever, says another. And another says, I was hospitalized with COVID in February of this year, worse than any side effect I've heard of. I had Pfizer run down and under the weather for about 36 hours after each one. And another one says, I have taken Pfizer and had no side effects. I got the second jab just 5 days before, wait for it, my hysterectomy. And it was fine. Bit of a sore arm, but that was it. And so after her first jab, she had to undergo an entire hysterectomy. And then she got the second one.
And oh, as my. I said, these are young women.
Yeah.
And no one thinks this is odd?
Moderna, first shot, nausea, exhaustion for 2 days. Second shot, nausea, splitting headache, temperature, 39.5 Celsius. Exhaustion. Body pain for 3 days, unpleasant. And another one, as you said, why are we discussing COVID in this group?
All right, here's one more new post. Hello, I'm 36. I've had very heavy periods for the last year, each one lasting about 3 months, with a month break in between. No spotting for the 3 months, just nonstop, heavy, bright red flow. I thought it was the COVID vaccine because it all started within a few days of getting the vaccine. I got my biopsy results back and it says endometrial polyp with complex hyperplasia without atypia. My GYN wants me to have a diagnostic hysterectomy, DNC, and polypectomy as soon as possible. My PAP results are not back yet. Has anyone had similar experiences, bad or good, and would care to share them with me? Ah.
Yeah, well,
the short answer is yes. Many chimed in.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll pick this up on Wednesday and move ahead. Just all of you out there, the lesson again, I think, if we have one tonight, understand, sadly, tragically, but really, the opposite vaxxed status is trouble for you, especially the vaxxed opposite.
Yep.
So be careful. Masks, Don't laugh. Put them on properly. You pick up your 10, 15%, whatever it is. I'll take it. Get gloves, lightweight cotton gloves. Just put them on in the store. The dirtiest thing you can touch in the store is probably the laundry basket handle. You grab it.
Yeah.
We've had reports of people who have ended up with zoster right in the part of their hand where they grab things.
Yep.
So it's a real deal. This is not sci-fi garbage. It's the truth. Okay, Erica, thank you.
All righty.
Great job. Great job.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be back with Mitch Henderson coming up in just a few minutes.